Hello and good evening and good morning and to those who have joined us. And thank you for joining the Walt Weekly Podcast Friday Live here every Friday at 6 p.m. We are global. So I should say good evening, good morning, good afternoon. And so we're very pleased that we are global. And my name is Walter Latham. I'm your host and I'm joined by your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. We are also joined by our knowledgeable and exceptional panel, and they're ready to tackle some of the most pressing issues that are facing us today. All right, for your information, we do a rebroadcast of this show on Sundays at 3 p.m., and that podcast can be found wherever you get your podcasts, free. So on this week's show, let's get right down to business. We want to discuss what TWW is acknowledging is a rise in Jim Crow. And we refer to it Jim Crow 2.0, and that is the suppression of voter rights. All right, in 26 states and being led by Texas. So we want to jump right into that, and I'm going to turn it over to Michelle so that she can bring in introduce the panel that is here now and more to come, hopefully. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle.
We appreciate you all taking the time and joining us this Friday evening. Please follow The Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking the share button below. Today's Friday Live is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skincare. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Nephew. Today's panel member, we have Ernest J. Robinson out of Washington, D.C., Sergeant, U.S. Marine Corps, Senior Consultant at B. Ernest Leadership and Professional Consultant. Joining in also, I see in the chat room, Greg will be coming in. He is owner of Illumination Media and Technology and engineer at The Walt Weekly. We have our newest panel member. She's been here a little over a month, and we welcome her, poet and author Judy Andrews out of Brooklyn, New York. We will have another panel guest joining us later, and I will introduce him once he is joined. Back, everyone.
All right, so let's get started, right? You know, the rollback of voting is an attack on voting rights. All right, this is one of the most important assets that we have in our toolkit. The Republicans are doing everything they can to disenfranchise the Black, Brown, and Native American vote. And this is being done with state houses throughout the country. So what are they doing? What are they doing? Basically, they're changing the rules. So if you can't win by the existing rules, what do you do? You change the rules. So that is what is being done. It is blatant and it's in your face. F you, what's next? If this fundamental right is taken away, what recourse do we have? And that's what we're going to explore along with the history of Jim Crow. Okay? So I'm going to go right to the panel and ask the first question. All right, do you guys think that we are entering Jim Crow 2.0?
I mean,
I'm gonna direct that to Ernest. Anybody can answer. So whoever's ready.
That was a great softball question, but it is more than apparent that we're
have
in
that control. We give them
I mean, we're beyond Jim Crow 2.0. But to answer your question, yes. What they're doing is not necessarily changing the rules, but reverting back to what the old rules used to be. Using things such as voter intimidation. Lawmakers have done for lack of better words, a marvelous job of redistricting, gentrification, and just continuing to suppress the overall laws. And so I completely agree with the fact that, yes, we are entering that 2.0.
Okay. Judy?
Me? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think I have to unmute myself. I'm sorry. yes, you know, voter suppression is very serious. We have 17 states that are suppressing the vote with, I think, ridiculous laws, like you can't bring people water if they're standing online. We saw that in Georgia, out of Georgia. You're not allowed to enter the voting booth at a particular until a particular time. If you show up early, you have to wait, you know, for any type of rule that is sent to you by whoever is administering the, you know, the voter site. You also have voter registration where you have to show ID. You know, that didn't happen. That happened in the 60s, you know, and even before Jim Crow, you were forced to take ridiculous tests, you know, the bubble gum tests, the marble right. tests. You have to figure out how many marbles were in a were in a jar, you know, and you had, and of course, you would always get them wrong because you wouldn't know. So we're going back to the 40s and 50s before the Civil Rights Voting Acts of 65 and 66. We have at 68, we've had so many different issues with, you know, just simple problems of people who got married, who changed their name. That's a simple thing, where you just have to go, you know, to your particular government office and fill out the paperwork. But now we have people who are in their 80s and 90s who, you know, maybe have gotten a new driver's license, or maybe they didn't update their driver's license, or they didn't update their ID. So they have to prove that their name is spelled with an E instead of just B-R-O-W-N. Because they may have made an error in the Department of Motor Vehicles or getting your ID. So those laws that are now suppressing voters through those states are creating more problems for not just the elderly, but for people who've gotten married, people who changed their name for whatever reason. It's becoming more difficult. So there are many ways that they're trying to be slick about voter suppression, and they're trying to say that it's because it's important for people to do these things so that they don't cheat.
Yeah, but do you
there's
think?
No fraud.
All right. All right. Judy. All
yes.
right. Now, do you think, and this is addressed to the other all the panelists, and I would like for Greg to dial in if he could. All right. Do you think that, you know, the what's going on in Texas with Abbott, all right, is a parallel to what happened back in 1890. And when I say that, let me explain what happened in 1890. Okay, 1890, there was a Reconstruction. Reconstruction was ongoing, all right? But in Mississippi, all right, they had a Reconstruction infrastructure bill. And this infrastructure bill, the North and the South, the North, they went in the back rooms and they decided, okay, to get this infrastructure bill through, we're going to need the help of the South. So to appease everybody, they said, okay, we'll pull the troops out of the South and just to get this infrastructure bill through. Now, that draws a straight parallel to today. All right, we got the same thing going on now. You have an infrastructure bill, $1.5 trillion. President Biden wants a partisan deal done on it. He wants it passed bipartisan, rather. Okay. And he's not even speaking about the voter suppression that is being attempted in the South. All right. The number one priority for him is to get this infrastructure bill passed. So to me, that's at the risk of the voter suppression efforts that they're doing. So they're allowing them to do it. It's like, you don't hear anything else about it. Voter suppression is no longer in the news. So what do y'all guys think about that?
Well, the infrastructure bill under, if you look at Biden's website, is really supposed to help people get jobs. But the problem with the infrastructure bill that we're seeing, if you've watched High on the Hog on Netflix, there's a particular young man in in Apex, North Carolina, who is being removed from his home due to infrastructure, where they're going to be building a traffic they're going to be extending the traffic in that particular area, which is going to go through his home and displace not just him, but several of his relatives as well as his neighbors. So when you are displaced from your home, that's going to affect the zone that you live in and the way that you vote. So infrastructure will have a definite impact on people who are going through a gentrification throughout the city. I know throughout New York City, we have a lot of new buildings going up, especially I know in my area all over Brooklyn, and people may be moving. You know, if you're going to move to another, you know, state or county, that will affect the way that you vote. And that is a form of, you know, voter suppression, but it's sort of like a hidden issue that people are not talking about. And when you ask people to move because you want to build a highway or you want to create a new building in a particular area, which is going on throughout every state, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to have to worry about going to the post office, changing their address, making sure that they get the right mail or the right address or the right voter information. And then you have to update the voter records. So that is going to be another issue that we're going to have to deal with voter suppression. And they won't call it that because they will say, well, you know, just move and make sure you change your address. It's hard to do that if you're 80 years old.
Okay, Judy. But what I'm saying is...
got carried away.
yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, do you think that this draws... You know, they say history repeats itself, right?
Yes.
Okay, back in 1890, you had a similar situation. You had an infrastructure bill on the table, all right? And meanwhile, you had, let's say, Mississippi, believe it or not, you had more Black voters than white voters in Mississippi, all right? So, I mean, what they did in Mississippi at the state house, they passed an amendment basically saying, okay, you're Black, I mean, we're rolling back to pre-Reconstruction, all right? Nobody voted on it, all right? So what I'm saying is that infrastructure is, to me, it's like a head fake. You have infrastructure, you have voter suppression. Okay, and nobody's paying any attention anymore to voter suppression. All eyes are on infrastructure.
Yeah, but that's not, I don't think that that's a fair assessment. During the Voter Rights Act is an act. It's not necessarily the supreme law of the land. So it has to be revisited every so often to reinstate or reaffirm the Voter Rights Act. Throughout from 2010, I mean, and pretty much since the Voter Rights Act has always been in jeopardy, right? But we had the Crimes Act Bill of 1994. We didn't strengthen the Voter Rights Act during that time. You fast forward to President Obama getting elected. So then now you have Republican legislators who did not like a Black man being elected. And so the attack really kind of more or less began there. Between 2010 and 2015, they gutted various sections of the Voter Rights Act while still not even an infrastructure bill, which is going to give jobs and money, but people wanted to pass and legalize marijuana. So now there are more states that have legalized marijuana than there are the states that are actually implementing these voter rights suppression laws. But the focus has always been on something else. They put a carrot out in front and everyone focused on this. And so they've been dissecting the Voter Rights Act. And so now we're like, okay, well, hey, you know, President, you know, this particular administration, hey, we need y'all to, you know, really, really focus on this. I think we've lost sight of some of the things that we could have done to prevent this. So I don't think it's just the infrastructure bill that is the issue here.
All right, but it does draw parallels to it. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is the 15th Amendment? The 15th Amendment, let me just read it off real quick. You know, the 15th Amendment contains, basically says, the rights of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. right? Now, that's the 15th Amendment. So what I don't understand is that if we have the 15th Amendment on the books, how can these states go about circumventing the 15th Amendment? Ernest, you have to explain that to me, because this is your bailiwick. This is where, you know, your expertise is.
Yeah, so I was actually trying to make sure that I had everything straight. So there was, so it was Section 5 of the Voter Rights Act that was in jeopardy. Okay, so on June 25th of 2013, the United States Supreme Court held that it is unconstitutional to use the coverage formula in Section 4B of the Voter Rights Act to determine which jurisdictions are subject to preclearance. The effect of Shelby County decision in a jurisdiction identified by coverage formula in Section 4B no longer need to seek preclearance for new voting changes unless they are covered by a separate court order entered under Section 3C of the Voter Rights Act. What this is saying, and what many other decisions are doing, they're trying to remove sections that carte blanche across the state, across the United States, saying that you have to follow these particular provisions, and are giving more rights back to the states that allows for states like Georgia, like Texas, to right. being able to put in provisions that they can sit there and say, they can say, well, you have to, they can decrease the amount of time. They can say, like Greg had put it into the chat, where if it becomes a tie, it does no longer goes to the Voting Rights Board, it goes to a selected committee selected by the majority of whatever particular party, which in the South, in Georgia, and in Texas, and other states like South Carolina, the majority is usually the Republican Party. And so, whereas we had the Senate runoff in Georgia, and the Board of Elections, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but they had control of doing the recount, et cetera, where the former president was calling down to get a special session so that the legislators can choose instead of the voters. And so those are the sections that were being dissected. And that's what we're seeing now, because when those sections became removed, it gave fodder to those particular legislators to being able to do what they're doing right now.
Okay.
A way to combat that. So yeah, so I've identified the problem. So the way to combat that is that it goes back to what Gene constantly preaches, what we've all preached, you know, on this show, is the importance of local elections. If you don't make sure that you elect somebody, make sure you're the one that's running, or you handpick somebody and make sure that they get elected and represent you on the state level. States' rights are imperative. It is imperative to how gerrymandering is run, redistricting is done, gentrification is done. A lot of those things happen on the state level. Now they can filter up to the federal level, but it is most important that we actually pay attention to what is happening and stop going after the shiny things. I don't believe infrastructure necessarily is a shiny thing, because it is something that is definitely needed. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yes.
So that way we can get both of them done.
So what I don't understand.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. But what I don't understand is President Biden, you know, called the tactics rather. Being used by Texas and these other states that are trying to, well, actually they're rolling the voting requirements back. They're rolling it back. That it's a threat on our democracy, right? And he went on to say that this threat is the equivalent to a civil war. So how did we get from a threat of a civil war to now just silence? Okay, now whoever's ready.
It is. Go ahead, Judy, if you want to.
Oh, no, I was going to say that, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, overnight. It's like little tiny things, you know, and the pandemic makes it worse. because you have people who have to travel. You have people who are trying to figure out how to get, you know, from one place to see one relative to another relative. And then you have zoning issues dealing with schooling, with education. So voter suppression deals with not just, you know, going out to vote and being able to know your polling place. And what Greg was really saying, you do have to know who your district leaders are. You do have to know who the people in your community are, your local politicians, because they set the standard for the state. The state creates the committees and all of the different that have to deal with going out to gather people to vote, which is why Obama was so popular. He was able to get to the grassroots of people to get them interested in the voting process and who your people are, who is in your neighborhood, what community organizers are in your neighborhood, because they are the ones that are going to affect the laws, you know, the legislature. So if you are going to affect the legislature and you have all the power, you can pretty much add anything you want to any of the laws that are out there. You can change whatever law it's, you know, obviously you can change whatever law you want. And many of the 17, mostly Republican, well, actually all Republican states are going after laws that create power for them. So if you want to build a beautiful building and, you know, that building, you find ways to outsource that work to just your people and leave other people out of it and disenfranchise an entire community. You know, so when you're voting, you're voting for your zoning areas, you're voting for schools, you're voting for medical and health care, you're voting for food, you know, in your community. How can you get to the supermarket? Is there going to be another supermarket that's going to shut down? So all of these things affect us directly and indirectly, which is why it's important to know who your leaders are, because really be in a lot of trouble later on.
Yeah, but I think what Walter was trying to get to the fact of how does the administration heavy-handedly, you know, describe it as, you know, Jim Crow 2.0, and then all of a sudden it's almost radio silence, right?
Right.
And so I can see it, you know, as a tactic to allow for certain people to being able to do their job. Because one, right now there is an open investigation as into what took place on January 6th. All of this stuff ties in together. There's a number of federal legislators who will be implicated adversely as it relates to January 6th. While at the same time, we still do have to pull the country forward through with this infrastructure. Also, as a result of that investigation on January 6th, is going to adversely implicate the former president as well. How do you keep a nation together? One of the things that Abraham Lincoln had to do was figure how to walk that line. And whether it is true, false, and different about, you know, his ability to not being able to maintain slavery, or if it was truly in his heart to free the slaves, neither here nor there, because we benefited from that decision. But there were some things that the president had to allow for other people to being able to do in order for him to be able to focus on the greater good, right? If we continue to go and vote and utilize the laws that we have currently right now, we can actually mitigate the efforts that Republican Party is trying to do in many of these states. We could actually continue to ask our leaders, our Black leaders, why they're not the ones talking about it. Part of the reason why an elected official may not necessarily talk about something as much is because they're doing the will of the greater good. And if we feel that it's the greater good, then that means we need to continue to talk about it and make them talk about it. Not just Biden, but every Black member of Congress. I think y'all have two junior members of Congress from New York. Mm-hmm. What is their position on it? How vocal have they been? The individuals that we just put into office, where are they? They have a platform just the same way. And they could put more pressure on the Biden administration to be more vocal. But where are they? What are they doing? I mean, okay. we can't point fingers if we're not the ones actually doing the work. Most people, if you're sitting in your car on the side of the road, everyone will drive past you. But more times than not, if you're pushing the car, somebody will stop and help you push. You can't just sit there and say, well, ain't nobody coming to help me. Because you ain't doing no work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, right, to answer Walter's
question. Yeah, go ahead. What do you
think? I was just going to say, to answer your question, Walter, a lot of it is also with lying, you know, which began with the Trump administration, where he has these loyalists now who the majority of the Republican Party believes that Trump is the president. They still are pushing that lie. And if they feel if you repeat something over and over again, people will eventually believe it. So you have this idea that there's voter fraud.
Yeah, well, I think that the underlying current is, you know, the big lie, as they refer to it. Okay.
Yes.
But I got Chris in the house now. And Chris, how you doing? Hope everything is good, man. Thanks for joining.
Great. How you guys doing?
All right.
Fine, thank you.
Good.
So,
good.
Have you been following so far?
I just heard a little bit. Heard Ernest, who was very eloquent in his statement there, and he was right on point. And Judy is right too. The big lie is a big part of the problem with these states going forward with these voter rights and trying to take people's rights away from them, because we are clouded with that nonsense, and it needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with quickly. I don't know why this guy is just looming so large over this whole thing. You know, you got this Mike Lindell on every station with his foolishness. There's absolutely no, he never provides any proof of anything.
That's a pillow guy, right?
Yeah, and they just keep feeding into this. This guy's on TV all over the place. And as long as you can push that lie out there and cloud, you know, everybody's chasing that, you can't watch them what they're doing as they roll back the clock on us. And people need to get out, be vocal, put pressure on their elected officials. This is not something that's going to go away on its own. You know, I think they thought the big lie would just disappear. It's not. It's picking up steam, to be honest with you.
Why would you say that, though? What would cause you to say it's picking up steam? What do you see?
It's picking up steam because people have now lost all trust in the system. They have effectively brainwashed these people into believing that their vote didn't count. China hacked the system. There's absolutely no, when you don't need proof and you've turned the people, you know, that's powerful stuff. You know, they have no proof. They've offered nothing, not one shred of evidence, yet they've turned people. They got people believing this, and this is bad business.
Okay.
I don't know where we go. I don't know where we go as far as, this voting the new bill they're trying to pass. I don't think they're going to get it through, and I just don't think the Democrats are invested enough. Like, they're not pushing hard enough, in my estimation.
All right, now you talking about the infrastructure bill, Chris?
No, I'm talking about this, the new bill. They're trying to push through something else to protect the voters' right, Voting Rights Act.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're being forceful enough, And they keep trying to play a fair game with a bunch of people who are not playing fair. And they just got, they better get serious about this, and they need to start, you know, punching back a little bit, because they're not. They're not. I felt it was a little crazy that they let the moratorium on evictions expire. Like, how can we let that happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that there's a way that we have to make sure that we keep things with decency in order. I do understand the urgency that Chris is talking about. But darkness begets darkness. Violence begets violence. And the main thing that we could do is really hold people accountable. How do we hold people accountable? Well, both chambers of Congress can actually remove members of Congress. It's been done before. People have been sanctioned. They are not wielding the power and the influence. And that's the most important thing about power or leadership, is your influence. And they lack the influence, which is the most strength that you have for quote-unquote power or leadership. So they're not holding people accountable. They didn't hold the former president accountable. That what they were insurrectionists. They were traitors. They were treasonous. They should have been treated as such. However, we did the blueprint for why there's a soft hand right now is the same soft hand that was used during the Civil War. We welcomed the Confederates back into the United States. We gave them, you know, positions within the military. We gave them land. We gave them this. We gave them that. We welcomed them back. So the same thing is happening with the same insurrections. You had members of Congress who stood up there and said that we're going to kick butt, take names. You got to defend your country. We got to do this. We got to do that. You had an entire president that sat there and rallied a whole bunch of people, telling them where to go and what to do. And we did not hold them accountable. The current president has the authority and the ability of being able to do so.
You hit the nail on the head, Ernest. You hit the nail on the head. That's what I was looking for. That's the parallel that I was looking for.
I got you. Yeah. And so that's where we got to be able to get to. And it goes back to getting our members of Congress in our individual states and sitting there saying, hey, no, we've seen this movie before, and we need you to do more. Because to your point, Walt, that's what began the soft hand with the Reconstruction, with this, with moving into Jim Crow. And so to your point, yes, this is how this is, seems like this is a sequel.
Can I add something that happened to my wife the other day?
Yeah.
It's a part of it. It's a little off topic, but not much. She was at work, and there was a gentleman that came in. She works in the doctor's office, and he was talking about the insurrection that took place, but he didn't call it an insurrection, and he was saying that the officers that took their lives only killed themselves because they know what they did was wrong during the insurrection, right?
Wow.
And he asked my wife her opinion. Of course, she didn't respond to him. And he kept pushing. And he made an idle threat to her. I know what time this place closes. I could come back. You know, alluding to, you know, he got upset with my wife because she ignored him. Then he goes, oh, I don't want her to draw my blood. And my wife goes, well, I don't want to draw your, I wasn't going to do it anyway for you. Like, but she was upset because a coworker was engaging this guy in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Not realize, first of all, not caring that it was getting out of hand, but these people are completely brainwashed. They believe this garbage. They really believe this garbage, and they're willing. Now, he never showed up, because I went to the job to make sure she was good, but he never showed up. But what if he did? These people are willing to be violent over lies, over foolishness. This is how far gone some of them are. They believe every drop of what's being told to them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, don't forget, it's in their interest. You know, that's selfish. Yeah. That's, you know, that's self-interest. So, of course, they're going to believe it. Even though they know it's not true, they refuse to accept that as a problem, as a possibility.
No. It's not that. We know it's not true. They believe it's true.
They believe it's true.
In their heart of hearts, they believe it's true. They believe that what they did on January 6th was the right thing to do. They
it was patriotic.
They really believe it. Right. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is, and they're turning
on the police officers. This is the same group of people. Blue Lives Matter, right? The police come first. They are turning on these officers.
The police and the military are.
Yes, they're turning on it. It's crazy. This is modern day Confederacy.
Well, it starts with what they're trying to do with the vote. You know, the rollback of voting rights. That's where it starts, but it doesn't end with just voting. It expands. So basically, you're planting this. You're not planting the seed. You're planting a little baby tree. All right. Okay. And that tree is going to bloom. So the rollback of voting, the voter suppression is just the beginning of what the attempt is going to be. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree that it's not limited to. This is just a vehicle to being able to, or ends to a mean, or means to an end, rather. Because what they want to do is reduce the influence of African Americans. That's what it's always been.
Right.
Ever since people don't like going back to slavery, but ever since slavery, when they had that first with the black slaves and white slaves during that first rebellion, it was how they were able to separate, saying, hey, we're going to give you a little bit more. You may be a slave, but at least you're not black. You may be poor, but at least you're not black. You know, and to them, they would rather have nothing, or they would rather have little to make sure that we had nothing.
Right.
Or just to make sure they would have nothing, just as so long as we also had nothing.
Right.
Because that's what that type of hatred believes in. And it's been fed through sources like Fox News and their various anchors, like the former president and other members of Congress, and then their state legislators, and then their judges, and then their sheriffs, and then the district attorneys, and then their prosecutors. And then our silence makes us complicit to everything that we see. When we do focus on things like legalization of marijuana, when we do focus on things that are outside that really don't really matter on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Like we take for granted, there was one thing I was sitting there saying, that we take for granted the things that we have that are free. We take for granted our life, our air, and stuff like that because we have it. We just have it. We didn't work for it. And a lot of people take voting rights for granted because they didn't have to work for it. Many people were born into it. Some people don't remember the fact that there was a time that you had to fight for voting rights. So this is something that's new.
Right.
And so now they take it for granted. And so we can't take it for granted anymore. We have to be able to replace value on the things that we have in our lives and our priorities.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or they give up.
That's something that people are raised with, though. We have to start teaching our children at a very young age, just like we need to teach them about finances, you need to teach them about the political system as well, how things operate. It shouldn't take, they shouldn't be waiting till they're 18 years old and they can vote to understand what they're doing. So many people are out there and they don't even know how the process works. They don't know anything about it and they're not involved in it. It is something that has to be taught at a very, very young age.
Definitely. And most of them say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Why wouldn't your vote count? That means they're ignorant on the process of voting, what it means. And a lot of young people don't vote. Well, older people too. I'll correct myself.
Yeah, I have a friend who's, you know, in her, well, I won't say how old she is, but she's older and old enough to know better. And she actually told me, what am I voting for? What's the point of voting? It's nothing's going to change, you know, and she has grown children.
Look at the process. I mean, we have so many people that voted just because Obama was running because he was black. They didn't have any valid reason why they were voting for him.
Right.
And so to Chris's point, to everyone's point, part of it is that there is a level of embarrassment, right? Because you feel like you should know more than you do, and you don't. And so you don't want to let anybody know that you don't. So it's just easier to sit there and say, well, my vote doesn't count. And you said that for so many years and you didn't vote. And so then your children grew up that way. And if you go back, again, Voter Rights Act 1965. No, Civil Rights Act 1965. Yeah, Voter Rights Act 1965, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were born after 1965, that wasn't your fight. So the first generation was really baby boomers,
right?
Who did not value voting. So before you even get to Gen X and to Gen Y, who further did not place value on voting, to now to millennials, to now to, you had generations of individuals who did not place value, who were not involved. After the Black Panthers went away, a lot of our social engagement stopped. We couldn't get Shirley Chisholm elected to the presidency. We had all kinds of things happen through the 70s. A lot of our brothers and sisters, or a lot of our brothers coming back from Vietnam. You know, it's something that, yes, Chris is absolutely right. We have to start teaching our children, but then we have to start teaching each other. Right. We have to start teaching our peers. Right. We have to start teaching our peers. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I watched a woman who was 90 plus vote during the 2012 election.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that lady.
Yeah, I remember. So, and I was there when she voted. I was in Florida. I know there was probably several, but I was in Florida when she actually voted. And I had people who were 63, 64, 65, first time ever voting. Ever. And that was in 2016.
Right.
They didn't even vote for the black president. They didn't vote for the black president.
Wow.
They voted in 2016. That was their very first time registering to vote and their very first time voting. So we cannot take for granted the fact that just because they're of a certain age that they, and a lot of people weren't involved as they want to feel like they're involved. A lot of people weren't down with the cause, you know, and now they want to be like they've been doing this for the last 30, 40 years, and you really haven't. And there's no need to shame somebody who wasn't involved. We just need to start encouraging people to get involved.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ernest. Sorry about that, folks. I was coughing. I got something, but whatever. It's not the COVID, though. I doubt that I got my vaccinations.
Good.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm good to go. I may need a booster. I may qualify for a booster, actually. All right. But anyway, yeah, Ernest, yeah, no, well said. You shed a lot of light on that. And thank you, as usual. But, you know, the tactics that are being employed with the voter suppression is a frontal attack. All right. I mean, that's right up in your face. Okay. What are we doing about it, guys? Have you heard what our counter efforts are?
No. All I hear about is having hearings about the insurrection, which should take place. But I think, you know, I'm not hearing enough or anything on what they're going to do to counteract what you can't rely on the federal government to do everything. That's the
first thing. No, definitely not.
This stuff is local legislators, and we need to put pressure on people in our locales to let them know that we are watching and we are on top of this. And the problem is, again, people are asleep at the wheel, and they're not involved, or they don't understand, and they don't believe that this can happen. You know,
yeah, well, Democrats,
it's not a foregone right for us to vote. You know what I'm saying? It had to be something passed to allow us to vote. That could be taken away, and people don't think that it can be.
Well, they're trying to take it away.
Yeah,
or to minimize it.
Can't even get people to fill out the census, so they're against that as well.
Right.
But these, you know, they don't realize voting and the census brings services to your communities. So that's why we're underprivileged, because we're not filling out, we're not voting, we're not going to the town hall meetings, we're not filling out the census so people can know how many people children you have in your home, so you can get community services, etc., supermarkets, everything. You know, people have to realize that these things count. If you're not part of the community, why are you complaining?
So,
and see, but that's the thing. That's the thing, is that the reason the Republicans are doing everything in their power to minimize our vote is because we were effective during the last presidential election. We were effective. We literally put President Biden in place. We did that.
Right.
That's why. I mean, it's no fair. It wasn't fair because the black vote was there. The minority vote was there. We made him president. And as Chris
Abrams, a big part of it.
Right. But right. I mean, we were marshaled, you know, we all got on the same page, and we all started marching to the same drum beat. And that's how President Biden got elected. Otherwise, you know, that's why the rules are being changed. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why the rules are being changed.
And let me nullify
all votes.
Not only minorities better be on their toes, women as well better be on your toes, because if they get one part, they coming for them too, because women helped change the vote, the White House. It wasn't just minorities. It was a lot of women out there that voted, and they want to take their right to vote away as well.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, you have to go back to how this country was began, which were elite white men. Had nothing to do with if you were poor, if you were black, if you were anybody else other than an elite white man. That's what the country was designed for and everything else. However, I did this asked this question when I was in college. And I asked how many people here have a 3.0 grade or better grade point average. I was in the crowd. And there was only like maybe one person that stood up. How many people were involved into different organizations on campus, either SGA, you know, a book club, glee club, cleanup club, somebody. There was only like 3 or 4 people that stood up. How many people do this? How many people do that? I leaned all these things that add value to the university. And I sat there and said, that's why when y'all complain about stuff, nothing changes. You're not involved, and you're not making a difference in the stuff that you care about. Areas in your life that you say that matter. You say that having a well-paying job is what's important, but you don't want to go out and get a job. You say that reducing crime is important, but you don't want to sit there and tell who shot those kids, you know what I'm saying, the other night.
Facts.
You sit there and say that you want this and you want that, but you don't even do it. So then why are we sitting here wasting our time and effort to being able to make changes that you're not even going to keep up? You're not doing your part.
Absolutely.
So, and so the reason why I said that was because the
was the hate violence against Asians was done in weeks. It was done in weeks.
Wow.
Unfortunately, those young ladies were targeted and killed down in Georgia. Two, three, 4 months later, and a federal law or a federal act was put into place. It doesn't take years. But the one thing that community has is that they have businesses and they have relationships. They have endurance. They have a voice and they use it.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it. We don't. We use it when it's convenient.
Yeah.
And Dr. King already talked about what the difference between a man, you know, in being in inconvenience and in convenience time. So we have our orders, but we don't follow them. We follow them when it's convenient for us and when it's cool. And we can't do that. And then blame it on legislators for not doing their job. Mm-hmm. We put them in office. We're the employers. But we don't know what our job is. We don't know what their job is. So we're not in a position to tell somebody what to do. But we have an opportunity to continuously learn, continuously be able to have platforms like this, talk about it, empower other people, encourage them to being able to learn more and to do more. So that way we can have that type of influence on the laws that's going to most affect us, that's going to affect us the most. So that way we can protect our children and our future generations the best by what we do today.
Well said, Ernest. Well said. Chris?
I can't add much to that. That was right on point.
You're right about that.
I will say one thing about the timing of what they're doing. We're living in a time where a lot of people don't want to do anything. They don't even want to go to the store mm-hmm. for themselves. They're ordering food and having it delivered. I mean, it speaks to where we're going as a society. We're lazy. We're not doing anything. We don't want to get up. We don't want to go out. Everything has to be made as easy as possible for people. And that is a problem. People don't want to go out. It's a bother to go out and vote. It's trouble. I got to get up and go. My God.
Right.
I got to go register. There's no other way to do this.
Yeah.
I got to stand online for 2 hours.
I cannot say, you know, I can't say that's a blanket situation. That's a broad situation. You have exceptions. And I think the people you're referring to are exceptions, Chris. All right.
I think we are losing sight of where we are as a society. People are lazy. They don't do the work. Listen, you got Mike Lindell can be out here all day, every day telling lies, and he could be fact checked. People just don't do it. They're lazy.
Yeah, but he's a rich guy that's crazy. He's a rich guy that's crazy.
Okay, but the rest of them are not rich. And Craig, they're just lazy. They don't even want to seek the truth. They're too lazy to go find out for themselves. Pick up a book, read it, Google it. It's not hard to find out the truth of what's going on or what's happening. Take a moment, take one evening to go to a open school night or go down to the Board of Elections. People don't do it. They are just lazy. And they think, Chris, I put them in office, they're supposed to work for me, and that's the extent of my job. I did what I had to do. No, you got to do more.
Have you all seen the movie WALL-E?
Yeah, a long time ago.
It's an animation film. But it speaks to what Chris is talking about. Now, the story is about this little, almost like a Johnny Five type little character, whatever case it be, that's picking up trash all over the place, whatever case it be, putting things where it needs to be, fixing stuff, making it smaller. But it talks about a world that got so lazy, they went off into the atmosphere where they're, you know, they're obese in these hover chairs. They get their food delivered to them. They go to the bathroom in their chairs. They take showers in their chairs. They don't do anything. And it's a whole nation of people who left Earth because they didn't want to do the work and did not want to appreciate, again, the things that they have, the ability to walk, the ability to see, the ability to love and hug and do certain things and take care and protect and provide for, to be in a position to provide for your family. Like, either you may not have the best of days, right, but you have an opportunity every day to do something. And they did not appreciate that. And the whole movie had, you know, different overtones of how you can actually look at, you know, life and the appreciation of it. But Chris is, I mean, absolutely right. I mean, and movies, you know, saying that have some artistic form of reality, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, our society could really be that way. I mean, and if it's not that you're obese, you know, physically, maybe your mind is such, like, you're not using the mind the way that you need to, because you're, again, you're just so lazy that you won't look something up. You won't contest what somebody says. Like, yeah, but don't you think, if you agree with it, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ernest, I didn't mean to cut you off. But don't you think that, and Chris, I'm also referring to you, directing this to you, this is not a racial, this is, you know, this is not, this is across the board. This is transracial. Right. You know, I mean, this is young people in these various generations that didn't have to work hard because their parents did it. Okay, so they're riding. So this is not a racial, I mean, it's not a stereotype, a stereotypical situation, right?
No, I agree, Walt. Mm-hmm. And, but what I'm trying to piggyback it with is because we as African Americans can't fight this battle by ourselves. We mm-hmm. need people to help us do this. But if you got a society that is lazy and nobody sees anything until it hits their doorstep, until it's at their feet, right. then they're a part of the process, but not until it affects them. And we need everybody, mm-hmm. black, right. white,
they don't
brown,
appreciate until
whatever.
You lose it.
Right. Yep. We need everybody. Right. Let me tell you something. In a couple of weeks, we're gonna have a big problem on our hands with the schools opening with this COVID.
Yes, yes,
this,
yes.
Nobody yes. is saying
nothing,
anything right
not
now.
Not a word.
These people yep. should be down at the border edge. They should be down at their elected officials finding out what the plan is. But they're gonna mm-hmm. wait till the last minute.
Last
because
minute.
They're expecting right. somebody
chaos.
To do the right.
Do
they're expecting
them.
Somebody else to do the heavy lifting for them. These are your children.
Yeah.
These are your,
all right. If you're not
you
talking,
send out,
go on mute, please.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? These are our kids that got to go out into this world with uncertainty surrounding this. And I don't see a big swell of people making a stink about it. They're going to wait till the last minute. And it's going to be too late.
Part of it is because going to school has been a form of childcare. It is hard for a single parent, whether mother or father, and especially if you have, I mean, whether you got one children or multiple children, but especially if you got multiple children spread out over different age groups, right? It's hard to be able to go to work when you have that. Our communities, and what was so good about the Panthers and the Nation and things like that, you know, before, or what the YMCA used to be, or what it could be, and the Boys and Girls Club, because we could foster and offset some of these things and start doing teachings in some of these other buildings and repurpose what a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA within our communities could do. Because I know when I stayed on 174th Street, some of the schools may have been 2 or 3 miles away, but the Boys and Girls Club was just three blocks up the way on Hoe Avenue. And if we had turned that into a school, if someone had repurposed it and sit there and say, okay, well, the kids can't go to school, but at least they can come here or something. Or to being able to help with parents being able to get back to work. So it's a rock and a hard place. But again, we have to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time.
But Ernest, we've been living with COVID for over a year and a half now, coming up on 2 years. Yes, this is not a new thing now. It's not new.
Right.
This problem is coming, and it's steamrolling. We got 3 weeks left to this month. School is right upon us, and there's nobody coming up. There's no plan. I haven't heard New York City come out with any plan as to what they're going to have for these children going into the school system. And where are the parents making a stink about this? Because this is a big problem. This Delta virus is spreading fast. We're looking like we're going back down to shutdown mode. What is the plan for these children?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's going to come to, okay, next week school starts and everybody's going to be, you know, raising their voices, yelling, screaming, you know, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about that? So, unfortunately, you know, both my kids are grown. I do have my granddaughters. And, yeah, I mean, I do put myself in their situation. And, this is such a unique situation to be in as a parent with a child in school. What are you going to do? I mean, I heard some people ask for remote options. I know we're not jumping off topic, but I think that it's the right thing to do at this moment. So what are we going to do? You know, do they go with masks? Do they go, or do we vaccinate? That's one of the decisions I do not want to make for my child. All right. I wouldn't want to be in that position, and I don't envy anybody that's going to be in that position to vaccinate or not to vaccinate someone under 12 years old.
Hey, Walt, I have a lot of teachers that I'm friends with. They don't even have financing for the remote program anymore. It's like they don't even know what's going on. The teachers. They're like, there's no money there for it. There's no plan for it. They, you know, it's school open or bust. That's what it looks like. And it's a problem because these kids are getting COVID now. Young people are getting it.
Yeah.
15 and under, they're getting it.
That's the scary part, man. That's the scary part. You know, and that's why I recommend people get the vaccination. That's just me. I tell anybody, they ask me, get the vaccination. Because you protect them more than yourself. All right. Okay. So anyway, I think we had a lively discussion. We have revisited voter suppression maybe 4 or 5 times. And hopefully we won't have to revisit it. But I think that we did cover and provide to our listeners where we are at this point in time. But you know something? I was reading and it indicated that 40% of Republicans think that if they don't get satisfaction from the courts about the fact that Donald Trump is not a fact, about the big lie that he actually won and there was some, you know, a sleight of hand in the vote count and ineligible voters and things of that nature, that they should take matters into their own hands. And what does that mean? Did anybody hear about that?
Secession. It's, again, the same thing that happened back with the civil rights. I mean, similar situation, parallel to the how the Civil War began. You know, they have an issue in which they feel that there is an imbalance of power, an imbalance of influence. And in order for them to be, if they felt like the United States was not doing what they wanted them to do, then those particular states felt like they needed to secede in order to being able to have what it is that they want, to be validated in their hatred, to be validated in their bigotry, to be validated in what it is that they believe in. And so that's what we're looking at, what we're seeing right now play out again, potentially play out again.
That's correct. States like Texas and Dallas, Texas, states like Arizona, states like Florida, you know, mostly Republican states, unfortunately, they feel that they're going to lose something, that they're not going to make enough money, or if they have to shut down, people will be out of work. They think something, you know, the big bad wolf is going to get them if people get vaccinated. And it's going, unfortunately, the people who are not vaccinated are going to be the ones that are going to suffer the most. And it's going to affect the people who are vaccinated, and the children are going to suffer even more. So something has to be done. And I like the idea that it's up to us to do something. And right, teachers are going to suffer.
Michelle, who parents is this in our podcast?
People are not.
I think that's what Judy.
No, no. He's talking about in the chat room.
Oh, I didn't see him. I'm not looking down there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thanks people for joining going, us, hater. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. People are just, especially parents, they are just not standing up to what's happening, and they're not paying attention, and they're going out and hanging out and doing whatever they want without wearing a mask. I have seen so many people who refuse to wear masks. It's like, I'm vaccinated. Why do I have to wear a mask? You still have to wear a mask.
Okay.
You know? And people are not getting it. They don't understand.
Can I just interject for a moment? Yes. Yeah, we got someone in the chat room. I think it's, what's the name?
The Fracture
Show. Oh, my God.
We don't
need. Yeah, but no. Look, where I come from, I come from North Carolina, so that's, you know, hey, that's not a problem for me. But I tell you what, once you follow, that way you can keep up with what we got to say. Because I'm definitely going to follow you. If you're a legit show, I will be following you. Okay? I appreciate you joining. So follow us. That way you can probably get some, you know, get a different point of view. All right? But anyway, let's move on because I think I gave you enough credit. But I will be following you.
Nah, all right. Give no attention. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I think our point has been made. That's the point we're making.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
That's the point we're making, which is why we have this show. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So with that said, we're pushing up against the clock. Another Friday. We'll be here next Friday. I'm going to turn it over to Michelle because, Michelle, you got some good news.
Please join the Walt Weekly for our upcoming Friday Lives. August 13th, we have our sports edition, led by the Walt Weekly engineer and panel guest, Greg Coleman, along with other panel members and special guests. August 20th, join us as we welcome Alaya Bundles, descendant biographer and journalist and great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. Alaya's nonfiction biography, On Her Own Ground, is an inspiration for Self-Made, the fictional four-part Netflix series starring Octavia Spencer. Join us also Friday, August 27th, as we welcome Brittany for Congress, an African Latino Staten Islander running for Congress. September 10th, we will welcome Ms. Val Whiting, a retired NBA player who will discuss athletes and mental illness. Please join us and follow us at www.thewaltweekly.com, Facebook and Instagram, The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly. We can be found on all streaming platforms, and you can download our podcast for free. Thank you. See you at the next show.